Well, I guess to start off with, Chuck, how did you and Shane come up with this idea? Where did this kind of come from?
It comes from a little bit of Shane's experience. So Shane was a heavier kid back when he was younger, and then he went to a fat camp and wanted to write a story about his experiences. You know, obviously traumatized quite a bit because he's like one of the nicest guys. So, you know, he wanted to make this character, Hutch, a real asshole and somebody who starts off from such a terrible place and then eventually gets to a place of becoming a much better person. So that was, and then I went to camp for my entire childhood. So I was able to bring my experiences to the table to match his, and we just sort of saw eye to eye on how he wanted it. And one of the best things he said at the beginning was like, you know, how do you, what do you want this to be rated? Like, how do you want to do this? He was like, dude, hard R, go far as you want. And if you, you know, if you ever go too far, we'll ask you to reel it in, and they never did. So, which was very lucky. And then when Jen came on, it was the same thing. She was very clear about wanting to preserve the spirit and the heart of the movie and the vulgar voice of it, but still add into it a lot of emotion, a lot of pathos, and a lot of growth and character development. So I think by the time she and I were done with the script, we both felt like it's in a good place, and we're telling the story you want to tell.
Well, I've got to ask, Jennifer, how do you go from, you know, ESPN 9 for 9 and a small act to this? This is a wild departure.
I know. Well, you know, I started, like, right when I got out of film school, I had a half-hour narrative. It was not a raunchy comedy, but I had started a narrative, and then so I've always done some narrative, and I've gone back and forth between fiction and nonfiction, but for a long time I was like, wow, I became a documentary filmmaker, and I didn't want to only exclusively do documentary, so I was looking for a fiction script. I've known Valerie Statler for a long time, and she worked at Fluency, and they're the ones who came in with the financing for us, and it was an unusual situation where they had money, but we had to get it spent by a certain time. And I was frantically reading scripts, and when I read this one, it made me laugh out loud, like, out loud, within the first couple pages. And I just, I mean, I know I'm known for a small act and The Diplomat, which is a 9 for 9 show, and they're serious. But as a person, and people usually meet me and go, wow, you're funny, as if it's a big surprise. So, I think if you know me, you wouldn't think that it's such a departure, but I can understand it's giving some people whiplash. It's just an untapped, I'm irreverent and like to talk shit in my real life, and so this just is a different side of me, I guess. I'm true to both those movies, but you might have to know me in person to understand that.
Well, I've got to ask, I loved in your director statement, you brought up a couple of films, but in particular, Superbad. And I immediately was like, oh, I totally see that connection. Can you talk about that influence, but also, you know, when you got on set and you got to meet these actors, were there anything that kind of popped into your mind while filming that was like, we're trying to, you know, have this sensibility for the film?
I mean, for me, I've always appreciated films that make me laugh, but where I really feel something for the characters. So Superbad's exactly that. You know, these are guys that are like losers in school that they're trying to get laid, and they're trying to be ballers, and there's like sort of this undercurrent of funk and old black exploitation films, and yet they're not of the cast you would expect for that. So I feel like Superbad is a movie that is fun, takes you a little bit by surprise, and has really relatable characters in really broad situations. And that I did try to keep that in line. I mean, I wish that we had the budget and the time or something.
Sure.
Like Superbad.
Yeah.
But we didn't have a lot of time to work with the actors. And I didn't bring up other films with the actors. What I did was just try to provide really clear human motivation for what they had to do in the scene, so that we would have performances that felt somewhat realistic, and that the situations themselves would provide the comedy.
So as far as the script, Chuck, when, I mean, the fact that you got to keep it raunchy, I feel like Chris just ate this up. Like, he seems like he completely dived into this. What was it like seeing an actor just take over your words? Because I mean, his speed with his lines and the way he, especially at the beginning with Vivica, their interaction was, I couldn't stop laughing the opening of the film.
Oh, that's great.
Refreshing, yeah, good. Yeah, no, I think Chris, because his background is stand-up, and so I think he really appreciates the well-written joke, especially one that has a little bit of an edge or a bite to it. And so, he very rarely asks me, like, hey, what's up with this, or how should this go? Like, he just got it right away. And so he was able to, like, because he's a really confident guy, so he was able to, like, magnify his confidence and make it into this, like, hubristic asshole, like, this kind of, but in a way that, I don't know if it's, like, his demeanor or his face is just so likable that you can hear him saying these terrible things and still be like, oh, I like this guy. Like, there's something about him that's charming and relatable. But yeah, I think he dove right in. He was, there was never really a warming up period for him to share.
And he's the nicest guy in real life.
Yeah.
But I felt like I believe him when he's being an asshole.
Right.
He's an asshole.
Yeah.
And then I really believe him when he sort of exposes himself in some of those more dramatic and emotional things. He knocked it out of the park. So he's someone who can do it all.
You know, I think it's obvious the fat jokes. I mean, they go in with the title of the film. They go in with just the visual of the film and all the wonderful actors you guys found. But I think the stuff that hit me the hardest or was kind of the most surprising was the whole element of no homo, or the whole look at sexuality. You guys touch upon that and kind of make a point to even make that a part of the joke series. And I think the moment where Chris has his moments with each kid, in particular the one kid who is the gay kid, I thought that was some of the best material. Can you talk about touching upon that side of things rather than just making it a fat movie?
Yeah, sure. I think, I'm gay, and I think that was something that I wanted to add in there, because that, having that element of living with a bunch of other guys and you're the only gay one, that can provide a lot of awkward situations. It can provide a lot of insecurity. And then I think one of the things that I wanted to touch on was that this next generation has a little, they have fewer hooks. They have fewer hang-ups, is what I meant to say, about sexuality. So it was able to, to me it was really awesome to see a kid who was struggling with something and coming out to a mostly really supportive group of friends who were there for him and really didn't care. It didn't affect how they viewed him. And then I liked making one character who had an issue with it be the outlier, the person that everybody else is like, hey, deal with it, shut up, like, move on, like, it's not that big a deal. And I think that's one thing that gives me a lot of hope about younger people today, is that they have more fluidity in that area, and they have more acceptance of different types of people, because I think they understand which previous generations have had problems with, like, okay, it doesn't affect me at all. Why should I care about it? And I think that was really the basis to me.
Well, also, we wanted to make the classic camp film, but then spin it, like, have the voice be a little updated. So you can't see us, but I'm white, Chuck's black, we're both gay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty fat. Chuck's very thin. So it's like, this is stuff that it's fun for us to play with, but it's also stuff that, like, touches something in each of us. So we wanted to cast it in a way that was, I mean, it sounds so, like, trite to say diverse and inclusive, but we really wanted to cast it in a way that felt like us and the conversations that we had,
Yeah.
I mean, so that meant that dealing with body issues, but not in this tired, sad way. Dealing with sexuality, but not in the tired, sad way.
Yeah.
Dealing with, like, because we don't really deal with race. We just made sure to cast it in a way that represented how LA really is. So,
yeah.
I think, I don't know, that was something great for me.
Yeah, and but also, like, because usually when you see people's coming out stories, they're full of, like, just drama and heartache and just so much that, and I with my friends, I didn't have that kind of experience. But I didn't come out until, you know, later in my 20s. And so I think part of it was sharing my experience, but also sort of going into a fantasy world of, like, man, what if I had done this when I was younger, when I was a teenager and at camp, and, like, really, really being honest and truthful, and then being able to have closer connections with people in my life. And I thought that was an interesting thing for me to want to represent. And I thought it was direct, that portion of it was directed really well. It was really one of the first times that you saw Chris Redd's character, be vulnerable and be accepting, where up to that point you've sort of seen him judging people and busting people's balls all the time. So that was the one moment where he got to be just a genuinely good guy. And I think that's an important message.
Jen, I've got to ask you. You brought along your DP that you've worked with, Patty. Can you talk about, obviously, the different pace of this film, but being a lower budgeted film, how did you guys cut corners? Like, what was the film process like for you guys? And then, where actually did you shoot? Because I didn't see like a specific camp location mentioned in the credits. I mean, how did you guys shoot this?
Daddy, last question.
Cool.
Oh, they're tough, man. Okay, well, Patty also happens to be my wife, so that's how I managed to get her. She's a low-budget shoot, because I was like, babe, you're doing this. So Patty also shot Small Arms with me, and we met. She shot my thesis film at UCLA, and while I went off to do a lot of documentary, she shoots a lot of half-hour comedy. So she shot the Bernie Mac show and Whitney Cummings show, Whitney, and Sean Hayes show, Sean Fence of the World. So she does single cam and multi cam. And the way that we were able to attack this film, because honestly, our schedule was impossibly tight. And we unfortunately didn't have too many scenes that had just two people. Like, we always had six people in the frame, which was hard. So because she has multi cam experience, we shot a lot of it with two cameras. And Patty was able to bring in her department heads, the Key Grip and the Gaffer from her shows, and they're very experienced. And I've worked with Patty a lot. And working with your wife can be great or terrible. And on this one, it ended up being great. And I've worked with her a lot. So we have such a shorthand. And honestly, I had wanted to do much more delicately framed. Like, I was like, oh, I wanted to give this indie comedy look. I mean, not as far as something like Wes Anderson, but I had something in mind with these really wide shots and like five people evenly distributed across the bottom of the frame. And when you've got real life teenagers running around who don't want to get on their marks and you have no time at all, we quickly were like, nope, we're going to shoot a two camera and we're going to get performances and we're going to make sure the comedy's there. And I was really appreciative of making our days. And in terms of the location, We shot in Malibu, where Wet Hot American Summer does a lot of their shooting for part of it, and we shot in Griffith Park, which Griffith Park has a camp, has two camps, actually, and we shot there for part of it. So it was two different camp locations.
Well, guys, thank you so much. I love the film, and love the fact that you got Mel Rodriguez's mustache in a film. It's awesome.
Mel Rodriguez, Chuck and I both just wanted to marry Mel Rodriguez. For his talent and his humor. I mean, he has been my favorite for so long. And he did, like, get in touch and be like, should I keep the mustache? So I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Keep the mustache.
Absolutely. He was great. He was so funny on set, in between takes. Just, like, funny just kind of comes out of him. Great.
Well, guys, thanks so much. Karen, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.